You're listening to KNKX, the news that Seattle-based Amazon wants to build what it calls an equal second headquarters somewhere else sent shocks through the local business and political communities. It also left many Seattleites puzzled. Seattle Times business reporter Matt Day covers Amazon. He spoke with his colleagues Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman about how the company's hometown has been reacting and why the move is a little unusual. Dan asks the first question.
Tell us how you found out about Amazon's plan and what your reaction was as the brand new Amazon beat reporter at the Seattle Times.
Yeah, it was a heck of a way to start, but we had a tip that something was coming in the early morning hours of, I guess it was Thursday the 7th, and so I'm checking the wires at just after 3 in the morning, and lo and behold, it's a 4 or 5 paragraph press release saying Amazon is looking for a fully equal to Seattle new second headquarters, $5 billion in investment, up to 50,000 jobs. It was a pretty jaw-dropping.
And obviously some people read this as, and especially I'd say Republican legislators, saying, see, the city of Seattle's liberal anti-business policies has driven Amazon out.
And the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce took that line.
And the incoming president in the chamber, I think, said it's not too late to say we're sorry. So does Seattle have anything to say sorry about?
No, I'm not sure. And I think there's not an obvious flashpoint between the city or the state where Amazon, you know, wanted something and did not get it. It seems like it's a pretty cordial, ongoing relationship. They've had, you know, largely it's a transactional real estate kind of a relationship with city officials. And, you know, there's no obvious split. You know, certainly, if you're a company, you're looking at your long-term future, you can think about things like the rhetoric on the business community. But I'm not sure that was a driving factor. And it's more Amazon is growing, less maybe that Seattle's pushed them out.
Yeah, it's also possible. I mean, there is talk of a Seattle income tax or a capital gains tax in the state. That's not something I think that Jeff Bezos has been a fan of. But still, you know, he hasn't made any statements, and I guess we haven't seen any direct evidence that it actually contributed to this.
I mean, you can definitely argue the city has worked hand in hand with Amazon and Vulcan, Palo Alto's real estate company, to rebuild a whole neighborhood for them. So even if Amazon is looking for a second headquarters, they're going to remain such an important part of Seattle's economy and the state's economy. What are people saying about whether they think this is good for the company's long-term health? Is it a good move? Is it a smart move? Is it a risky move?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, part of this is just so unprecedented. I mean, you mentioned the case of Boeing, right? Plenty of companies have their headquarters in one spot and then a, you know, development center elsewhere. Nobody at this scale has two giant co-equal headquarters. This is sort of a brand new thing and, you know, very, very Amazonian that no one's tried it before. Part of the issue with this one is we don't know exactly how it's going to shake out. The Amazon has said they're going to let executives choose one spot or the other to locate, which, you know, on its face could create some kind of chaos if teams are split or you have to fly everybody in for a meeting whenever the execs need to get together. So there's a lot to be learned about how this is going to shake out.
It actually made me wonder a little bit how much of this co-equal headquarters thing is just spin, because is it really possible for them to be co-equal? I mean, Jeff Bezos can't be in two places at one time.
No, that's exactly right. And I talked to a couple of economic development experts who said, you know, just to that point, wherever Jeff Bezos is the headquarters by default, and that's not going to change until he leaves the company. But it's like the sort of rule of thumb in business that there are no mergers of equals. Somebody eventually you know, has the upper hand, and I think a lot of people are expecting that's how this will shake out, you know, 10 years down the line once these two headquarters are fully developed.
What's the next thing that you're looking for in your reporting that you might dig into that people can expect?
So the Amazon's not going to say a whole lot between now and the deadline they have set for cities and states to make their bids, which is October 19th. So that's a good milestone. We should know by then sort of who's really interested and who's going to raise their hand. The complicating factor, though, is this process has started out very publicly. It's about to get very quiet. Amazon's going to require strict confidentiality around sort of the talks around this. So this is going to go under a hood fairly shortly.
That's going to be interesting to watch. You said that this is going to go into sort of a private mode. I would imagine that could clash with journalists in a lot of cities who are going to be saying, hey, wait, this is the public money you're dealing with. It should be public. So it'll be interesting to see the reporting on that.
No, absolutely. And it's going to be just a giant sum of money is sort of the expectation. I talked to the consultant who helped champion Boeing's deal to stay in Everett, the massive tax break. A few years ago, the state of Washington gave the airplane maker. And he says this one could break that record.
All right, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
Seattle Times business reporter Matt Day speaking with his colleagues Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman about Amazon's announcement that it's planning to build a second headquarters. The conversation was an excerpt from The Overcast, the Seattle Times weekly politics podcast recorded here at KNKX. You can find a link to the whole episode on our website, and you can find The Overcast anywhere you get your podcasts.